DeepMind published the Gemini Robotics 2 announcement yesterday, and the phrase they're using is whole-body intelligence, which is doing a lot of work in that headline. What they mean specifically is that their system can coordinate reasoning across an entire robot's kinematic chain simultaneously. Previous approaches to robot manipulation tended to treat the problem modularly. Arm planning here, balance there, object recognition as a separate pipeline. Gemini Robotics 2 is attempting to unify those into a single model that understands the full body state.
The HN comment thread on this hit 200 responses, which for a robotics announcement is unusually high. What struck me reading through it was the split between people who see this as a genuine architectural advance and people who are essentially saying, show me the failure modes. The demos are impressive, but demos are always impressive. The question is how the system degrades when it encounters situations outside its training distribution.
That's the crux of it. The whole body framing matters because tasks like loading a dishwasher or folding laundry, which seem trivial to humans, require constant replanning as objects shift, as your grip changes, as your center of balance moves. A modular system compounds errors across those handoffs. The claim with Gemini Robotics 2 is that a unified model can smooth over those seams. Whether that holds at the tail of the distribution is exactly what the skeptics in the thread are pressing on.
From a market perspective, the timing of this announcement is interesting. We're watching Boston Dynamics, Figure, Physical Intelligence, and now DeepMind all accelerating their capability claims within a pretty compressed window. That suggests either a genuine underlying wave of capability improvement, which the scaling law advocates would predict, or a wave of competitive positioning ahead of a funding cycle. Probably some of both.
The physical intelligence angle connects to something bigger than just robotics demos. If you can have a model that reasons about physical causality across a full body, you're building infrastructure for warehouse automation, elder care, manufacturing quality control, industries where the labor economics are already under pressure. The commercial pull is enormous, and that's partly why these announcements generate the reaction they do.
From the muon story on Quanta, this one is genuinely strange in a beautiful physics way. The background here is that muons are fundamental particles, essentially heavy electrons, and for years physicists have been measuring a property called the anomalous magnetic moment of the muon. The measurements from experiments like muon G2 at Fermilab showed a discrepancy with theoretical predictions, which many physicists hoped was a signal of new physics beyond the standard model.
And the new result essentially solves the discrepancy, but not by finding new physics. Instead, researchers improved the theoretical calculation, and now theory and experiment agree more closely. Which sounds like good news until you realize it means the earlier theoretical calculations that were generating all that excitement about possible new physics were apparently less accurate than assumed.
The headline from Quanta captures it well. Solving a mystery made older results not add up. It's a reminder that in experimental physics, your confidence intervals are only as good as your understanding of every systematic error in your apparatus. What's elegant about this particular case is that the resolution came from better theory, not better experiment, which is a somewhat unusual direction for these things to resolve.
The HN comment thread on this is small, but interesting. Several people with physics backgrounds are noting that this is actually how science is supposed to work. You keep improving your models until the results converge. But it's cold comfort if you spent 5 years on a research program premised on that discrepancy being real new physics.
The space story from Project Pluto is one that deserves more attention than it's getting. There's a rocket upper stage, tracked as 2025-010D, that is confirmed on course to impact the moon on August 5th, which is 6 days from today. This isn't a controlled deorbit. It's space debris that's been drifting in a chaotic orbit since early last year. And the tracking community has now converged on a high-confidence impact prediction.
What makes this interesting, beyond the spectacle, is that this is the third uncontrolled object to hit the moon in the last 4 years. There was the suspected Chang'e 5 booster in 2022, then another unidentified upper stage. the moon is becoming a debris impact site in a way that nobody really designed a governance framework for. And the craters these objects create are not insignificant. They scatter regolith and can complicate future surface operations.
The HN discussion touched on the tracking itself, the fact that amateur astronomers and small organizations like Project Pluto are doing a substantial portion of the work to monitor these objects. It's a distributed observational network that operates almost entirely outside formal government structures, and yet it's producing predictions accurate enough to call an impact within a few kilometers, 6 days out.
There's a policy conversation lurking here about who bears responsibility for upper stage disposal. Launch providers have generally not been required to design for controlled lunar disposal, partly because nobody expected so many missions to reach cislunar space. That's changing, but slowly.